Welcome to the Third City Christian Church podcast. This week's message is Sincerely, Part 8, The Neighbor, recorded Sunday, February 23rd, 2025. If you have a story about how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to office@thirdcityc.org. Now here's Dan with today's message.
Well, C.S. Lewis wrote that the most important thing about you is what God thinks about you. Well, then I read another Christian author, A.W. Tozer, wrote that the most important thing about you is what you think about when you think about God. D.W. Walter isn't going to choose sides between those two statements. I think they're both right. Last week, I told you that I often use those two important words when talking to someone about what our vision, Love Unlimited, means: receive and reflect. And I would say both of these words are the most important. Last week, we simply dove into the unstoppable love of God through Jesus that every person is invited into, the receive part of Love Unlimited. And to recap, we don't have to strive to get up the mountain to where God is because he willingly came down the mountain to us in the person of Jesus. His love for us is constant, it's consistent, and it's unconditional. And it offers grace to us, which simply means undeserved or unmerited favor. So the free gift of grace comes out of the unconditional truth of God's love. There's a couple big churchy words that we use to talk about what happens when we receive the love unlimited of Jesus. The words are justification and sanctification. It's important to understand these two words and what takes place in our lives when we receive God's love. So first, justification. By the blood of Jesus, him taking on the punishment that we deserve, we are made pure in the sight of God. Simply put, you can think of justification in the phrase, just as if I never sinned. When we place trust in Jesus, God sees Jesus in us rather than our own record. And that's good news for me. It's good news for every single one of us. 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah was writing about exactly what would take place through the Messiah. And he wrote this in chapter 1 of Isaiah, though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Your heart, your soul will be white as snow. And I think we've had plenty of object lessons about that over the last couple weeks. Well, while justification describes our eternal status with God, sanctification describes the work that God does in our lives once we receive his love. Justification makes us holy. Sanctification is the ongoing process of making us holy. It's a lifelong process of change that takes place in our lives. It's a partnership between Holy Spirit and self. The preacher and author Max Lucado said this about God's love for you. He said, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. And in this lifelong process, effort is not a bad thing. Dallas Willard had this to say. He said, grace is not opposed to effort. It's only opposed to earning. And this is really the beginning work of reflecting the love unlimited of Jesus. The reflecting takes place inward and outward for the benefit of people around us. Inward, it looks like this. We make effort to spend time with God through reading and studying his scriptures, through prayer and other spiritual disciplines. And the more we do these things, the more we actually come to desire or crave them. We commit to our side of working on our character issues in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And we strategically stay away from the things that often cause us to trip up in our lives, or we take steps towards recovering what our sin had wrecked. And as we play our role in the partnership with the Holy Spirit and with the church, things about us begin to change. Paul wrote about this in his letter to the people in the church, the Galatians, saying, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then people begin to notice as these things develop in a heart and a life where they weren't before. They notice that you're not the same person that you used to be. Something about you seems different, and it's because something is different. Your heart and your soul and your actions, they begin to reflect God's presence in your life. You heard this summed up in that Kingdom Rally video. I love this line from one of the students. God is teaching me to trust in the process and let him build my character. It's a partnership between God and between us. God's love and his truth work together to change us inwardly. And while that's still happening, you begin to reflect love unlimited outward to the people around you. You become someone who helps other people experience the same things that you're experiencing. And really, you become a person of influence. In the last few years, more and more, when you hear that term influence, it's in reference to social media influencers. If you've ever followed anyone who kind of makes that their living, whether it's on TikTok or Instagram or YouTube or, for us old people, Facebook, people who make thousands of dollars every time they post about, I think that's the first time I've included myself in old people. People who make thousands of dollars every time they post about a product. Now, I read that last year, over $515 billion was spent on advertising in the United States. And of that money, 74% of it was spent on digital advertising because it gets results. The right post at the right time by the right influencer can make all the difference in whether a product is a mega hit or whether it ends up on the clearance aisle at Dollar General. You've likely heard of the Stanley Company. They've made all kinds of drink containers and other products for years. If you're like me, you grew up watching your dad or your grandpa drink coffee from one of these old vintage Stanley thermoses. It looked gross, and it probably thought, as a kid, I thought, I'm never drinking coffee if that's what it's gonna look like. The thing had dents and scratches from falling out of the car multiple times. But man, you could keep coffee or soup hot for about a month in the thing. The company's been making a wide range of products, thermoses and tools and sweepers, tons of different products, but they were never in the category of trendy. They were never considered cool. Oprah never had put them on her list of favorite things. Well, in 2019, Stanley decided they would enter the market and have a high-priced water container. And people really liked the design. It had a handle and had a straw right in the middle of the lid. And the shape of the cup, well, it fit perfectly in the cup holder in your car. But it wasn't selling at all. And the company, they were ready to drop the product, content to cut their losses. But they were approached by an influencer from a group called The Buy Guide, a company of people who are quickly becoming like these mega influencers. And they said if you would use brighter colors rather than just your standard green, people would be open to the product, and we think we could help you sell them. And so they did, and when The Buy Guide told their followers to buy the Stanley Quencher water bottle, they did in droves. A lot of you probably have one or 10. The product went from something intended for grandpas to something that everybody had to have simply because the right people said, you need this thing. In fact, it got so popular that it would sell out, and it actually caused fights in stores over the last one. And parents, you know that if you tried to buy a knockoff brand, you were risking your child being bullied because they didn't have the right cup. So maybe when you hear me encouraging you to be a person of influence, you kind of recoil a little bit. And you think, if that's what it is, I don't want anything to do with it. I want to be someone who's just hawking another product or another worldview or the latest self-help pyramid scheme. And I would tell you, I'm with you. I don't want to be that kind of a person either. And I'm not asking you to be that kind of a person. You see, the difference between being an influencer and a person of influence makes all the difference. An influencer is someone who basically says, you should go do this thing. Whether or not that thing has really made that much of a difference in their life, they're cashing a check. But a person of influence says, I found the thing. Ultimately, I found the one, the person, who's made all the difference in my life. And because I care about you, I want you to find the same thing that I've found. If you turn to John chapter 1, we're going to read about exactly the type of influence we ought to want to have with people around us. It's right on the same page that we were reading from last week, and you can also follow on the screens behind me. And as we read through this, notice three people: John the Baptist, Andrew, and Philip, and the influence they have with the people in their lives. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples as Jesus walked by. John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following, and he said, "What do you want?" They replied, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Well, come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and followed Jesus. Andrew went to go find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah." Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. Well, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Come follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth," exclaimed Nathanael. Could anything come good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. And as they approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." Nathanael asked, "How do you know about me?" Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the son of God, the king of Israel." And Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I saw you under some tree? You will see far greater things than this." Three people who, when they discover that Jesus is the one their people have been waiting for and watching for, their natural inclination is to simply help connect the dots for other people in their life. John the Baptist was kind of a big deal. He had established a ministry with people who were following his leadership. His ministry was completely centered around preparing people for the arrival of the Christ. And the minute he determined that Jesus is the one that he's been talking about, the one he's been pointing to and waiting for, he said to his own followers, "That's the one. That's the one that you should follow, not me." And so they did. Andrew being one of those that went from following John to following Jesus. He was one of those guys, and he quickly was convinced that Jesus was exactly who they had been looking for. He wastes no time before going to find his brother Simon. He can't keep this incredible news to himself. He's compelled to let the people closest to him, his own brother, in on what he had discovered. And Philip, he arrives at the same conclusion as both John the Baptist and Andrew, and he acts in the same way. He immediately leaves to go find his hometown friend, Nathanael. And when Nathanael drags his feet with more than a little bit of skepticism, instead of trying to argue with him, Philip just says, "Come and see for yourself." This morning, if nothing else, I want you to hear three things. The first is that we have a responsibility. Collectively, we are called to do what we call intentional evangelism. It's one of our core values, and it always will be. In Matthew 28, Jesus reminds his disciples and his church, us, that we have a responsibility of expanding the kingdom of God, to be disciples who make other disciples. We refer to it as the Great Commission, and it's a co-mission. It's something that takes place with all of us and in partnership with God. Here's what Jesus said. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. See, we're called to share love unlimited with as many people as possible, to tell them the good news of Jesus and walk with people as they meet and grow in that relationship with him. It's why we say things like, we'll do whatever it takes to pull up another chair. It's why we've had building programs in the past and why probably before very long, as this room gets fuller and fuller, we'll have another one. It's really important. See, God's not done reaching people through Third City. I just want us to commit together that we're here for it, that we'll continue to do whatever it takes to pull up another chair. We have a responsibility. Second, you have an opportunity. See, what we just read about in John chapter 1 is the story of a coworker, a family member, and a friend who all bought into the life-changing relationship with Jesus simply because someone in their life cared enough to share. John the Baptist introduced his coworker, his disciple Andrew, to Jesus. Andrew turns around and introduces his brother to Jesus. And Philip recognizes the good news of Jesus should be good news for his friend Nathaniel. And this morning, I just want to remind you that somewhere in your life, there is somebody who needs to be introduced to the hope and love that is found in Jesus, that you are experiencing in Jesus. Maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a family friend or a family member, or maybe it's a friend. Probably for most of us, it's all three of those people. A couple of years ago, we asked people to stick some pins on a map, one for where you live, your family, one for where you work, your coworker, and one for where you play, your friends. And we were blown away by the visual representation of what that would look like for all of us. I think we have a picture of that, of what it looks like when we look at all of us together and how we represent wherever we go. And it was massive. It was mind-blowing to us, not just in Grand Island, but in Broken Bow and small towns and places in between, that the reach of Third City Christian Church is much larger than a building here and a building in Broken Bow. It's a reminder that you know and you have influence with people, that the person sitting in the row ahead of you or behind you or someone commenting on our service online this morning, that they don't have influence with, that I don't have influence with, and we have an opportunity to be active in their life. So the question is, are you willing to invite people to encounter Jesus in the same way that you are? Are you willing to take advantage of that opportunity? Now, the third thing I want you to hear is that you are more ready than you realize. One of my life verses is 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do so with gentleness and respect." John the Baptist, Andrew, Philip, they'd all met Jesus for the very first time, and they didn't let what they didn't know stop them from sharing with the people that they did know. And you shouldn't either. See, there's a phrase I find myself repeating to people all the time, and it's simply, all it takes to lead another person is to be one step ahead of where they are. It's what I love about Philip's example with his friend Nathaniel. In response to all of his questions and his doubting and even his mocking, he just looks at him and says, "I don't know. Why don't you come see for yourself?" Brian and Jeremy were students at UNL about 25 years ago. Brian had grown up in the church and he was a pretty quiet guy. Jeremy was one of his fraternity brothers who was a ways away from believing in Jesus and following him. But Brian just kept extending an invite for him to tag along. And so eventually they'd come to the campus ministry I was leading, and they met together with an incredible guy named Bob, who just has a way of asking the right question at the right time. And at some point that year, it made sense to Jeremy, and he gave his life to Jesus. And the next summer, they went with Bob on a trip to Romania and did a lot of work in an orphanage there. They came back to college and finished their engineering degrees over the next couple of years, but Jeremy's heart was stuck in Romania. And for the last 21 years, he served as a missionary in orphanages in Romania because his friend Brian cared enough about him to say, come experience what I'm experiencing. I asked our youth ministry staff if they had any great examples like this, and they talked about Olivia and Annalise. There are a couple of our high school students involved in the Element ministry. At the very end of the school year, they kept inviting this friend of theirs to attend summer camp, CIY, and she finally said yes. And you need to know she was given one of our Kingdom Rally scholarships, and it changed her whole world. She was baptized last fall on a Wednesday night at Element, and she attends Element Lifehouse every week. Examples of friends reaching friends, inviting people into what is bringing meaning into their life. Well, that Element staff continued to share examples with me. And then Parker, who's sitting right here this morning, he got excited about, he has an organizational communication degree. And so he got all jacked up about this and he sent me a flow chart of what had taken place. And it's pretty cool if you look at it. Evidently those are misspelled. But man, the impact of one person catching on to how much Jesus loves them had this huge impact of person telling person after person about the love of Jesus. But the beauty of the chart to me is that a couple of parents and a grandma prayed for their kids and made sure that they were involved in youth ministry every week. Family leading family who go on to lead a whole bunch of friends. I think you know this to be true. Don't ever get in the way of a grandma who prays. And last Sunday, I met two young adults after our 11:30 service. I'd never met them, so I asked them their names and asked if someone had invited them to Third City. And they kind of laughed and said that they worked at this local restaurant. A coworker had been inviting them and a bunch of other people. And it sounds like half the staff of Arby's is here on Sunday morning, and we love it. Coworkers loving the people God has placed next to them and inviting them into the thing that is making the difference in their life. Coworkers love the people that God's placed next to you in a cubicle or next to you in a kitchen. You might just be part of changing their world. We're gonna take a moment together. As a church family, we remember the unlimited love of Jesus. That's for us and it's for everyone around us. It's the gift he gave us through his death and resurrection. And so if you have your communion supplies ready, in Acts chapter 2, we read about the very first church and how they were committed to the very same things that we try to be committed to 2,000 years later. It says in Acts chapter 2 that they worshiped together and met together for the Lord's Supper. They shared their possessions and meals together with great joy and generosity, and praising God and enjoying the goodwill of one another. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Whether it's 2,000 years ago or today, the church is called to receive and reflect the unlimited love of Jesus. And so just like they did, we take a piece of bread, reminded that Jesus was bruised and beaten, giving himself as an atoning sacrifice on our behalf. We drink from a cup. Rejoicing in the knowledge that his blood was willingly poured out for us. And that we're covered in his grace. Lord Jesus, thank you for living for us, for dying in our place, and for raising to new life so that we can be raised to new life in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Third City, may we always be a church that is devoted to gathering. May we always be a church that invites others into what's taking place here. May we always be a church who helps a bajillion kids get to summer camp. May we always be a church that is willing to throw the doors wide open for another person to meet Jesus. Can we continue to be that church that just throws doors open and makes room for people, people who take seriously the responsibility that we have together and the opportunity that we have as individuals, knowing that we are more ready than we even know to share that love with other people. I love what Mark Moore said about this. He said, the Great Commission is simple. Walk with people as you walk with Jesus, and before long, they'll meet each other. In a couple of months, we have Easter weekend. There's not a time when people are more open to an invite than then. And we're gonna have cards like we always do, inviting, you know, an opportunity for you just to give it to a coworker, a friend, or a family member. But I also tell you that there are people in your life who are probably ready to be invited right now. And next week, we start a new series talking about something that our world loves to hear about, how we are involved beyond the walls of this building, how we reach into communities and nations in the love of Jesus. So I'd encourage you, invite those people already. Get them here. We'll throw the doors open for them. Third City, let's like go into our communities, let's go into our workplaces with the love unlimited of Jesus. Let's do that together. Thanks for being here today. You are dismissed.
Thanks for listening to the Third City Christian Church podcast. Please join us for one of our live worship services at 8:45, 10:15, or 11:30 a.m. in Grand Island, 9:15 and 10:30 a.m. in Broken Bow, and on Facebook Live and at thirdcityc.online.church at 10:15 each Sunday. For more information about Third City Christian Church, send email to office@thirdcityc.org, call us at 308-384-5038, or visit us online at thirdcityc.org.